Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, how is my tough guy opening? Let's do this.
That's what that was.
You be the judge. This is Wretched Radio. Do you know who used to be a tough guy? He used to be a tough guy. He's not anymore.
Who's that?
Emile Zwain.
No.
He was a punk, a first-class punk. He was a Crypt or a Blood, one of those.
Really?
Yes. I know.
He's a nice guy.
Can you name anybody nicer? Now, there's people that probably could equal his kindness, but I don't know anybody who exceeds it. He is like so kind. And you have to ask yourself the question, how does a young man go from being in the Crypts or the Bloods, don't want to offend anybody if you happen to be a member of one of those gangs, how do you go from that to leading Living Waters as one of, and it's remarkable. Everybody knows it. You just meet the guy and it's like, is he really that nice? It has to be gifted, but it also has to be something that was cultivated. Because I don't think you can bear that much fruit without an awful lot of fertilizers. So the good news is, as bad as my tough guy impersonation was, it's better than Emile Zwain's. There, I just said it out loud. What is on your wretched screen? Would you kindly send it to us? idea@wretched.org. If you would like to text, you may do so at 877-282-2337.
Okay, if you remember, we received an email from James last week who asked the question about the difference between the Quran and the Old Testament, where God directs his people to kill those of other nations.
Yeah
so he wrote a follow-up question. He says, Todd, I accept your answer as a Christian, but how would you respond to
to somebody who's not?
To an unbeliever, yeah, that's right.
I don't think I would change a thing. If that is the right answer, and you can make that determination for yourself, the one that I gave, basically what I said is that God can command the taking of a life anytime he wants to, because he's the one who's responsible for life and death, and he never sins if he takes a life. Whatever the mechanism or tool that he uses, Allah can't, because he doesn't exist. I would stick with that. And I would explain that to the unbeliever that, first of all, Allah just isn't in the picture because he's not in the picture. But I would spend time helping people to understand that God is the one who makes the determinations of life and death. He is the author of life. He is the one who determines when your life on this side of the veil has ended. And he does that for every single life in all of human history. Can you imagine? This is, I think, an aspect of God that we don't often appreciate. I think that we can get an even greater understanding of the bigness of God, the strength of God, the weightiness of God, when you consider that he has witnessed every single human atrocity, everyone, he bears it. Every death, he is the one who authored it, and yet he doesn't crumble, because everything he does is just and right, and he can bear that weight. We can't, can we? We all experience some people dying in our lives, but it's probably less than a dozen, two dozen, maybe billions of people. And yet he bears up because his shoulders can handle it. And I can't help but think about fame. I think that's something that we aren't meant to bear the burden of. I don't think that we are made to be receiving applause. I don't think that we are to receive accolades and that people are to be worshiping us. I think that's why so many mega celebrities go bonkers. They aren't meant to receive glory. Only God can receive that. So how would I explain this to an unbeliever? Same way that I would explain it to a believer. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, I'm 42 and I own a pretty successful business. My wife is in real estate. We've been married for over 20 years, have two children, ages 12 and 16. Our schedules are flexible, so we share parenting and household responsibilities equally. My question is this. My wife's income is significantly higher than mine. Am I living in sin as the head of the household for not being the main financial supporter?
That the dynamic that was just described, I don't think so, because you are out there, you're doing it, you are working to support your family. So's your wife. And the fact that her income happens to be greater, I wouldn't put you in any sort of timeout box or imply that you're not being manly and leading and providing for your family. I would see it as a blessing and carry on. 877-282-2337.
All right, here's a text from Mike. Todd, my name is Mike, and I'm 10 years old. I want to do magic tricks, and I was wondering if it's considered sorcery and lying.
It depends on what you're doing. If you are doing actual divination, which I'm pretty sure you're not, Mike, then it would obviously be a sin. I would encourage this. This will actually help guide you, not unlike a spiritual gift. I'll get back to that in a moment. Instead of calling it magic, call it sleight of hand. Call it illusions, because that's what they are. There's nothing sinful about that. If you're presenting it as if you actually have the power to do things that suspend the laws of nature, well, that's getting into the side of witchcraft, divination, and sorcery business, which Exodus 18 says, huge thumbs down on that. So to not even find yourself in that territory, just call it, you do illusions, you do sleight of hand, and then I think you're operating on the right side of the line. Now, what does that have to do with spiritual gifts? I think the issue of one word and understanding the original Greek language would clear up so much confusion. Have you guessed the word tongues? We call it tongues, speaking in tongues. If we just use the original language understanding of what that was intended to be, especially as we see it manifested in Acts chapter 2 and called it languages, I think that we would have far fewer debates on the subject. The gift of languages, that is so different. So when I go about the business of reading, say, 1 Corinthians 14, or I read Acts chapter 2, languages, much better word choice than tongues. You're welcome for that excursus. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Jonathan.
Is that kind of sneaky?
Yeah.
Just kind of throwing that in like that?
No, you didn't say anything about 1 Peter, so you're good.
Ow. Don't make me, Jimmy.
Don't make you.
You know, you gave me a cannon the other day, and you know what I'm talking about. You gave me a cannon that I could fire at you at any time.
Oh yes.
But yes, I'm not gonna. Don't make me.
That's a double barrel kick. This is a text from Jonathan. Todd, as Christians, we should be angry at sin, but should we ever be angry at sinners?
Righteously angry, sure, but just indignant and no, you can't. There's a fine line, and I grant you it's very easy to cross that line and have fleshly anger because it offends me, it annoys me somehow, or I've been offended in some way, and I got to get my pound of flesh back. Yeah, that's sinful anger. But when God is assaulted, when God is attacked, then we should get angry, and furthermore, it can be at the individual. God isn't angry at sin every day. He's angry with the wicked every day. And I think all too often I see a ditch on each side of the issue of anger. I see people are like, you should never get upset about anything because that would be a sin to be angry. No, there's righteous indignation. And that is something that is totally in alignment with God's character and nature. I think there's another ditch that people use righteous anger to just be torqued all the time. And that's not the right ditch either. It's one of the finer lines that we have to walk as Christians, but walk it we must. 877-282-2337. Just go.
Todd, do you want me to ask you a question? That's the question.
No.
No.
Yeah. No, so, that's not the question. No, yes, I do. Now look at the time.
Look at the time.
Like, we could have handled this.
No, we could.
There was 52 seconds.
It would have taken that
28
long.
Seconds.
It would have taken that long for me to ask the question.
No, it's a text. Go ahead. Go. What text do you have in front of you? Go.
It's this long.
Is it really?
It is.
That's the only one you got?
That's the only one I had queued up. Yes.
All right. Ay. If you would like to make a request for your money back for what you just had to experience, please send a letter to Jimmy at Fortas Institute somewhere.
So sorry.
This, now my cannon has another ball inside of it. This is Wretched Radio.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortas Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. Download the Fortas Plus app right now, wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortasplus.org.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at fortasplus.org. As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. Life is Best, all 13 episodes streaming now on Fortas Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortasplus.org. Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture, and if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortas Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortasplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing, but management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at fortasinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Jerome was a 4th century Christian theologian and one of the original four doctors of the church.
His most important work was the Latin Vulgate, a translation of the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, the vernacular of his day. The Vulgate remained the preeminent translation of the Bible for a millennium.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Delight or heebie-jeebies. Those are the two options. This is Wretched Radio. If you find something wretched, would you be so kind to send it to idea@wretched.org? If you have a question, comment, conundrum, snark, text 877-282-2337. Jimmy, I'm going to share an idea that you haven't heard yet.
Okay.
You're either going to be delighted or you're going to get the shakes.
Okay.
You ready?
Huh?
I was thinking we could kind of go back in time and do something that we used to do on Wretched Radio years ago, but we stopped doing it simply because of the different formats on which this program goes out. What if we I'm scared of your reaction. What if we had got phone lines in again and people could call and we could actually talk to them on air?
Huh? Oh.
Okay. Asked and answered. Then so, we're doing it.
Jimmy, can it be done? Yes. Oh, me.
You love the idea.
Absolutely.
We'll see. 877-282-233. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah,
absolutely. It would be fun.
It is so fun. Do you remember? Okay, Laura Ingraham, I don't think she does radio anymore. I don't think she's done it for years. She just does the Fox News thing. Do you remember listening to her talk show and how she would treat callers? Oh, my. All right, Jimmy, we'll do a dramatic recreation. Okay. All right, you're going to be the caller. I'm Laura Ingraham. I don't like the role I'm playing, but nevertheless, let's go with this. I started it. And you call in with a question and just kind of be nice.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
what's my question?
Introduce yourself. Just whatever you're looking at just to ask a question about it. But don't get to it immediately. Okay?
Okay.
You ready for your
don't
assignment?
Don't get to my question immediately. Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello. How are you?
Let's get to it.
How are you
okay,
doing?
Next. And then hang up on him. Seriously. It was that, like, oh.
Wow.
And she would just scold them. Like, okay, look, you got to get to it. Like, this is boring. Next.
She had a schedule to keep.
Unbelievable. It was so if we do it, it won't sound like that. 87. In the meantime, we'll do it the old fashioned way. We'll text. This morning. This is so amazing. I had a meeting that's been scheduled for a bit and we were going to do it via Zoom. My Zoom thing didn't work. There's nothing new.
The Zoom machine broke.
It's spinning. And it's like, okay, I'm supposed to be on the thing right now. So right away, the guy texts and he's like, yo, you getting on the Zoom? And it's like, I can't. And he said, let's do it the old fashioned way. We talked on the phone.
Wow.
That's the old fashioned way. Alexander Graham Bell would just be thrilled to learn that. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, my mom is feeling grief over my siblings' resentment of her. Our parents certainly failed in the ways common parents, that's common to all parents, but they raised us in a Bible teaching and church and sought to protect us from many traumas they experienced in their own childhoods. None of my siblings will likely ever have children of their own and therefore likely will never come to a place of understanding and forgiveness as I have. They all claim to be Christians, but I struggle to see any fruit in their lives. Yeah. How can I best encourage my mom in her hurts?
Oh, you're a good child. Because what was just described is commonplace. It's almost the norm rather than the exception. It is that prevalent, the ghosting of good Christian parents. You can just keep saying the same stuff you've probably been telling her. You're a good mom. You're a faithful mom. I'm so grateful for you as a mom. And you can also, I think you can do a couple of other things. First of all, you can remind her that their sins are their sins. Now, did she do everything right as a mom? Of course not. None of us do everything right as anything, frankly. And yet she was a faithful mom. She did not cause their behavior. She is not the one who repelled them. They have made that decision. And you might want to repeat that regularly and often. But I think the other thing that you could share with her is the fact that this is an absolute trend. Go Google it. Just ask Google to pull up all of the articles on ghosting parents, toxic parents, and you will see that this trend, it's a plague. And she has simply been caught in the plague. So that maybe, just maybe, that helps her to understand she doesn't have to be this closeted Christian parent because her kids won't talk to her anymore. It's like, no, you just join the club, because this is happening to millions and millions of parents. And mom, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. All of the aforementioned things I said, plus they don't know what they're missing. They just don't know what they're missing. I think we talked about this maybe 2 days ago, something like that. The big things and the little things. The world has it so... Here's another example, I think, of Romans 1, where everything is flipped upside down. Here's Isaiah 5 for you. It's what's up is down, what's down is up. To the world, the big things are the little things, and the little things are the big things. The world sees little things like kids that honor their parents. They see that as something that's small and trite. That's a big thing. That's an excellent thing. That's an awesome thing. That's a rich thing. That's a profound thing. They've got it flipped. A family that stays together, a couple that stays married for 50 years, that's a big thing. And the world says, it's a little thing. No, and the things that you and I rightly see as little things, like fame and success, the world sees those as big things. And this is a constant war that is going on. And I think that the world has persuaded far too many young people that being in a great relationship with their parents, it's not just a little thing to them, it's a terrible thing to them. It's horrible because they're probably a white Christian oppressor anyway, and all the other nonsense that goes with wokeism. The world, they've just got it flipped. And that is why I think the church does well to remind young people especially what the big things are. What the big things are. That someday you're going to want your kids to be honoring you. And wouldn't it be cool? Just imagine the Courier and I've seen. It's 3 generations. It's 4 generations. Everybody's loving one another around a Christmas tree. That's what you're after. That's the stuff that should be on your list of priorities. Those are the things that are profound and good. Don't let the movies deceive you. Don't let social media trick you. They only promote little things, trite things, silly things, or downright sinful things. Go for the big things. And the big thing, honestly, is family. Getting married, staying married, making babies, having grandbabies, and everybody loving each other and staying together, and the youth learning from the wisdom of the elderly, and the elderly benefiting from the energy of the youth, and the cycle goes on and on and on. Those are the big things. Church, we got to encourage that. We got to teach that. If you lead a youth group, I would encourage you to consider letting young people know on a regular basis what the big things are and what the little things are, because they're missing out. 877-282-2337.
This is from Hope. Todd, I know God should be my source of rest, but how do I practically implement that in my daily life? What do you recommend to find rest in God and His Word?
Oh, you just set me up to sin. What you're doing. There's a book coming out December 1st called Go Serve Your King. I'm just saying, it kind of deals with that. How do you rest in God? I want to get this exactly right to be as helpful as possible. Mm-hmm. The question was, how do I rest in God? What does it look like to rest in God?
Yeah, to implement that in my daily life.
All right. Yeah. You just, first of all, need to make it a discipline in your life. So as you're going through your life, when you hit traffic, when you hit a speed bump, when you hit a relational issue, you can stop and go, all right, what does God have to say about this? How does God inform this? Lord, what are you doing in this? Lord, what do you want me to learn in this? Lord, I remember your character and your attributes. You are sovereign, you're good, able, and faithful. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. You have determined I'm going to be late for this meeting. I trust you in that, Lord, because you're good. and you're in control. And if you wanted me to be at that meeting on time, I left faithfully. I timed things out rightly, but you put traffic in my path. So I'm going to trust that you have something in this, and I'm even going to thank you for it. And that's just, I think, one example of how you can go about the business of resting. Let's go back to the brokenhearted mom. Mom, God is good. He's able and he's faithful. He could restore those relations. He could do it. But apparently, he's letting them continue in their sin because that's what's best for you. And you go, ah, no, it's not. I want my relationship. Wait a second. God is sovereign. He's good. He is able and he's faithful. He never does anything to his children. He only does things for his children. And you can rest in his decision because you remember the attributes, the character, and the nature of God. Remember who he is and rest. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.